Welcome to The Clever Cookster, your ultimate window into the kitchens of the world's best cooks. I'm your host, Kara Rota. Our guest today is Patty Hinnich, the host of the popular PBS show Patty's Mexican Table, the official chef of the Mexican Cultural Institute, and the author of the new book, Mexican Today, New and Rediscovered Recipes for Contemporary Kitchens. Welcome, Patty.
Thank you for having me on, Kara.
So, Patty, so much of what you do is about making Mexican home cooking accessible and easy on an everyday basis. What are some of your tips for home cooks who are just trying to get dinner on the table every night?
I think the first thing is to not fear that they will fail to try something new. I mean, that's the nice thing about cooking in the kitchen. I think that it is such a noble place. Like, if you make a mistake and it's not super perfect, nothing happens. Most times, you can usually eat it, you know? And then you have always, there's always a second chance. There's always an opportunity to try it again. So I think people really struggle with trying to get new things on their routines because you have five things that you repeat and repeat and you want to have new things, but you feel like you don't have the time. So I say, like, venture out, bring in a new ingredient, try something new, let yourself have that chance to fail and then succeed again.
This book is specifically for contemporary kitchens. What particular challenges do you think home cooks are facing today, and how are you in this book trying to help them solve some of those issues?
That's a great question. And I think that by contemporary, we just mean, you know, like the kitchens today. And I'm trying to balance out the respecting and using the richness that we've inherited from Mexican cooking. You know, the very useful and wise techniques, how to prep tortillas for enchiladas, how to rehydrate dry chili. So how to make use of that enormous wealth, and then how at the same time be able to open the window to new possibilities. So I think some people think that you need to have, you know, a molcajete and to make the corn masa from scratch in order to have traditional, fabulous Mexican. And I think Mexicans and Mexican food are so resourceful. You can have fabulous Mexican cooking with just one comal.
I love that. What are some of the other classic Mexican recipes that you've been inspired by in this book, and what tweaks have you made to them and why?
Well, I feel like in this book I took so many liberties, Kara. I mean, there's a chapter per dish that I really love in Mexican cooking. So there's an enchilada chapter, a guisado or stew chapter, a taco chapter, a torta chapter, a casserole chapter, and in each one of those chapters, I try to balance that same, you know, walking along two paths at the same time, the rediscovering new dishes for the U.S., you know, that haven't been brought to the U.S. yet that are fabulous and people should get to know them because the appetite is there for more new things. And then, so there's, you know, in the enchilada chapter, to give you an example, I have really regional, you know, enchiladas like the mineras, which have like a guajillo sauce and they're stuffed with queso fresco and then have pickled vegetables on top, or the enjococadas, which have a bitter buttermilk sauce and are stuffed with crab meat and peas. And then I have some really new ones that I came up with for my three boys who are always very hungry. And these are like black bean enchiladas stuffed with scrambled eggs and then queso fresco and avocado. So it's like some new things. I'm getting hungry just thinking about food. So it's some new things and then some things that I'm just adapting to the contemporary kitchen, but without losing the soul or the story of where the recipes come from when they're brought back from the past.
You do such a great job talking about cooking for your boys and what that's been like. What are some of the tips that you give parents who are dealing with kids that don't want to try new foods, or a family where different kids have different preferences?
I think they should look at it from the... Listen, I have three boys. My oldest one has always eaten everything except for fruit. I can puree it, bake it, liquefy it. He smells it and he won't touch it. But he eats everything else. My second son used to be really picky. He used to eat three things: eggs, pasta, and bread. I'm not kidding. Like, until he was like 10 years old. And then my little one just eats everything. And I, for years and years, I was really frustrated with my middle one. Like, I tried absolutely everything from begging, going down on my knees, to threatening, to saying, okay, just one bite out or something new, until I completely let go. And I realized that it was only by him watching and me not saying. So we're really passionate about cooking and eating. So him seeing that we're eating and trying new things, and slowly but surely, I didn't have to do something to him. It had to be the environment. And so that's one thing. Like, let your kids be alone and worry about you being enthusiastic about eating. Because if you want them to eat everything, but you're eating two pieces of lettuce, then, you know, they're not going to try anything. And the other thing is, get them involved. I think they really feel empowered when you say, okay, this week we're going to try some new things. What do you want to try? They usually come up with pretty unfeasible things, you know, like Peking duck or, you know, but even it's new things and you make the effort, then they really get excited about what's going on in the kitchen. And instead of the kitchen being this place where you're working hard, you have to wash the dishes and it's a task place, it becomes a like wondrous place of adventure.
I think that's right too, that, you know, if kids see you pushing your comfort zone and what you cook and what you eat and not being afraid to fail, then it's easier for them to pick up that fearlessness and in wanting to try new things.
Exactly.
What are some of your secret ingredients that you think home cooks should always have on hand?
I think one is salt. I think every good dish has the right amount of salt. And many times food is undersalted or oversalted. My dad was an expert at that. He used to make the most amazing tortas. I mean, simple, just like ham and cheese, avocado, tomato. But always at the end, he would add a sprinkle of salt, like the tomato or the avocado. And it made such a huge difference. And I think just what Latinos or Mexicans call the sazón, you know, the season, like, don't be afraid to add salt. Sometimes a dish won't taste as it should be until it has the right amount of salt.
It's a good one. And how about appliances and kitchen equipment? What do you think people really should invest in and what's not really worth it?
Number one, a good, powerful blender. I mean, I adore my blender. I use it from morning till night for smoothies. I mean, they really help start my day. I mean, in the morning, it's the salsa goes pureed in there. The smoothie goes pureed in there. Then midday, the base of the soup goes pureed in there. The moles go pureed. I mean, it's just the flans go mixed in there. It's just, I use a blender for, it's like my third hand. I use it a lot more than the food processor. I, of course, have a molcajete and I love it, but I'm not grinding things on Tuesday night, you know?
Patty, thank you so much for sharing these insights with us today.
Thank you, Cara, for having me on.
Check out the book, Mexican Today, New and Rediscovered Recipes for Contemporary Kitchens. And tune in next time on The Clever Cookster for more tips and tricks from the kitchens of the world's best cooks.